Numbers chapter 11, reading in the Word of God from the verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it comes out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. It is especially that verse 23 that I draw your attention to today. The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Is the Lord's hand wax short? I want to consider with you today the length of God's hand. Here is a question the Lord asks Moses. If the Lord asks it, it must be a good question. Must be one that is to get us thinking. That's what God's questions are about. They're always to get us thinking. God doesn't ask questions because of his ignorance, for he knows all things. He doesn't ask questions to obtain information for himself. No, he asks questions to stir us up, to awaken us. And this question is about the Lord's hand. Is the Lord's hand shortened? Has it shrunk? Has it shriveled up? It's a rhetorical question to produce a response of faith in the hearer. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to create faith in his people. That comes through his word. And part of the rhetoric of his word is to put it in question form. And this is a question that we know the answer to, but we have to think about it so that our faith will be strengthened. The answer, of course, is no, the Lord's hand is not shortened. We could ask ourselves these things to encourage our faith. The hand of the Lord, can it not reach anymore? Can it not work anymore? Can it not provide anymore? Maybe today you are discouraged. Maybe you have been praying for a long time about someone. You're not seeing God's hand in their life. Maybe you've been bringing a matter before the Lord and you need to see his intervention, but you're not seeing anything. You're like Elijah's servant. He went up and looked toward the sea, and so many times he had to come back again and he had to say, there is nothing. And you've been praying about God's hand and you've been seeking these matters before the Lord, and you have to say there is nothing, not even a cloud the size of a man's hand. Perhaps there are divine promises, and you are claiming them, taking hold of them, bringing them before the Lord who gave them, looking for fulfillment, looking for God's hand to bring the promised blessing, but you are finding nothing. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But at the moment, There's nothing. Your faith is drooping. And your patience is failing. Well, if that's you today, you're just where Moses was when God asked him this question. The context of the question in this chapter is as follows. Israel is in the wilderness. They have manna. They have the Lord. They have God's promises, God's presence, God's guidance. But they're still murmuring. God's people are always murmuring. And the latest murmur is, they don't have enough variety of food. Verse 6. Now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Nothing. Except the manna. There's no choice. There's no meat. There's no flesh. There's no variation. They said, we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. What a variety. And there was the flesh. So they're not only murmuring about these things, they're actually weeping and crying about it all. And it angers the Lord. And it seems nearly to become too much for Moses. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. The anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses was also displeased. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favour in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? And so it seems to have become too much for Moses. He's at breaking point. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone. It is become too heavy for me. So Moses is at his wit's end. Because of all this crying and all this murmuring, and how's he going to get the meat for them? And in response to this, the Lord does two things. He promises to provide Moses with 70 elders to help him bear the burden in the ruling the people. And then he promises to provide meat. Flesh so abundant it will be coming out of their noses. Meat not for a couple of days, or not for 5 days, not for 10 days, but meat for a whole month. Whenever Moses hears that, he begins to look at the arithmetic. He does the figures and works on the equations in his mind. And he just can't seem to get a hold of it by faith, what God has promised and said here, meat for a month. And he says to the Lord, there are 600,000 footmen, soldiers, probably over a couple of a million people altogether when you include women and children. And the Lord has said, I'll give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. You can see in that response of Moses that it is one of unbelief. Moses can't figure it out. He doesn't know where the meat's going to come from. How will it get here in the wilderness? What hand will provide it? How would that hand obtain it? How would that hand bring it here? It's not about figuring it out, Moses. It's about believing God. It's about faith. And it is at this point where Moses' faith seems to be failing that the Lord asks the question, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see, Moses, now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. So you will observe then that the question is asked in the context of the promises of God. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. This promise of flesh for a whole meat. And so God's word is in question here in the mind of Moses. Now Moses was a good man, but even he, was not perfect in faith. None of us are perfect in faith. None of us will ever reach up to the heights of Moses. And even he had doubts at times. God has said flesh 1 month. Moses has said, where will it come from? Moses should know if God promises, he has power and sovereignty to keep that promise. He should know that. Moses ought to know that one divine promise will never fail. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The unshortened hand of God will see to it that all his promises are kept. And so the Lord calls us to faith and belief in God's promises in this question. He doesn't call us to figure out the how, but he calls us to trust, believe. And dear fellow saints, we need to know today the length of God's arm. We need to know and be sure in our minds how far his hand can reach. We need to believe in the long arm of the Lord. We need to be assured, no matter how distant the promise seems, no matter how far away the thing is, God's hand can reach it and bring it. So we're thinking about the length today of God's hand. His arm is not short, but long. It can stretch far. How far God's hand can stretch can be seen in creation. Moses should know this. He knew about creation. He wrote Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Not only the earth, but the high heavens. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God made two great lights as well. The greater light to rule the day, that's the sun. The lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon. And they're high up. They're far away. But not as far away as the stars. They're even further. And Moses wrote, he made the stars also. So at creation, God had a long arm, reaching the sun, reaching the moon, making those vast lights, reaching into the boundless universe to make the stars. Eliphaz said, behold the height of the stars, how high they are. They're numerous, but they're also distant and far. But God's hand reached there, out at creation. God's hand extended as far away as the most distant sun. His arm was long. It stretched out the universe and it shaped the stars, every one of them. Like the psalmist said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Every star is the work of God's fingers, the work of his hand. And how far those stars are. No shorthand there. And it's still the same today. Reaches far. Has it shortened, Moses? Has it waxed short since the day that I made the stars? And then its reach can be seen in providence. Everything is upheld and directed and sustained by that hand. God often pointed the fathers to the stars. We see that when we read the scriptures. Moses knew this also. He wrote about Abraham. He wrote about the promises to Abraham. And one time God brought Abraham forth abroad, Genesis 15 verse 5, and he said to Abraham, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." He pointed him to the stars. And there they are, they're still the same. The same as in Genesis 1. The same as in the day of creation, still there, and now thousands of years later, Abraham is pointed up to them and they're still there. And Moses can look up and they're still there. None changed. Last like the sun they do, every one of them. God's hand that made them keeps them. God's hand is still there at every star, sustaining every star, upholding every star. It still reaches. If God's hand shrunk and shriveled up, you know what would happen? The stars would begin to fall. They would begin to fade and cease. They would sink and disappear. But we can still try to count them today. We can still endeavour to tell them one by one, because God's hand is still reaching out, sustaining them. It's not shortened at all. That's his providence, upholding and sustaining everything with his divine hand. It is not one bit shortened. Its far reach can also be seen in redemption. Many years later than Moses, the prophet Isaiah gave a clear answer to this question. Isaiah 59 verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." Isaiah answers the question here in a salvation context. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? And Isaiah responds, no, in the matter of salvation, in the area of redemption, it is still a mighty saving arm. It reaches to far off sinners. God actually had this in mind when he promised Abraham a seed and pointed him to the stars. Because he says, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Whenever God said this to Abraham, Abraham didn't even have a son. And yet God says to him, "You'll have a seed like the stars." They look far away now as he looks up. He can't count them and they're distant. And Abraham's seed is distant. All those who are going to be saved, they're distant, they're far off in time, far off away from God and sin too, distant. It's not just about the numbers, but the distance. It looks so distant away, and so it was. But it won't stop God's hand reaching. Just as it's upholding and sustaining the stars in the physical universe, so all the stars that he makes up in the great day of redemption, he'll all have gathered them all in. His hand will have reached every one of them, no matter how far in sin they were. He'll reach every one of them. God's hand is not short in the matter of redemption. Moses should know this. We should know this too. Look at what that hand has done to the sins of his people. What did the psalmist say? "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." You know, that's some distance. The east from the west. Where does the east end? Where does the west end? Can't be measured. vast distance. And yet God's hand has separated his people from their sins. God has taken their sins with his mighty hand and has taken them away as far as the east is from the west. Does that sound like God's hand has been shortened? Maybe you think some sins remain, child of God. Maybe Satan casts them up to you from time to time. Don't question God's hand. Is the Lord's hand waxed short for you? Are your sins any different from the sins of your brethren and sisters? Don't doubt the power of Christ's blood. Is the Lord's hand shortened for your sins? Listen to the text. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Think how far that hand reached in salvation. Remember how far off you were from God when you were in your sin, distant. You were so far from the Lord in sin, buried in iniquity, in the far country, as far away from God as the stars from the earth. But God's hand reached you. God's hand brought the gospel to you. God's hand knocked at your door. God's hand gave you a tract. God's hand brought you a sermon. It reached you, and his mighty spirit worked in you. Does that sound like the Lord's hand has waxed short? Remember how God said, if any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Doesn't matter how far off, even to the outermost parts of the heaven, the Lord's hand will gather you. He'll fetch you. He'll reach you. He'll bring you to himself. No matter how low, down, no matter how distant, he will still gather them. All of them. He will draw them to himself, his people. And he brought you from afar. And he'll gather the distant Jews. And he'll gather the distant Gentiles. And he'll bring them in. And he'll gather all his jewels and all his stars. Those sons and daughters from far off. You pray for your sons and daughters. Some of them are yet in their sin. Some of them are far off. You've prayed for years. You nearly feel like giving up. You don't see God's hand yet having reached them. Well, God's hand can reach them. Here's a question for you today. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Don't think it. Why should you doubt? Is my hand shortened at all, the Lord says, Isaiah 50 verse 2, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. I will gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That's where God's hand goes to. Far. The ends of the earth. The east, the west, the north, the south. In all directions. Maybe you're backslidden today. Maybe you've sinned and left the Father's house. And wondered, you've wandered far off, like the prodigal. And you think God will not bother with me anymore. And I'm outside God's reach now. I'm beyond his hand now. Jonah got far away from God. He went down into the depths, deeper and deeper, into the bowels of the earth. Darker and darker it got for him. Out of the belly of hell, he cried. He was cast into the deep, into the midst of the sea. The waves passed over him. He was down in the dark places amongst the weeds, in the depths. But God heard his cry, and God's hand reached him. No matter how dark the place is, God's hand can reach you. No matter how deep you go, you're not beyond his reach, sinner or backslider. No matter how difficult the place you find yourself in, child of God, the Lord has a long arm. There is no place, no situation where you get into, and God's hand is not there. Remember how the psalmist said, if I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, yes, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Hasn't got away from God's hand. He's got on the plain. He's got onto the rays of the sunlight and scattered with the sunlight into the furthest corners of the earth. He's got into the ship and sailed to the most distant parts of the sea. But God's hand still reaches him. Whether a saint or a sinner, you're always within the reach of God. Man may not be able to help you. Man's arm is short. It may not, it will not reach you. Your own arm is short. You can't even reach God. God asked Job an interesting question. Hast thou an arm like God? That's a good text. Hast thou an arm like God? Of course not. Well, because your arm is short, or because my arm is short, or because your minister's arm is short, don't conclude that God says. Don't measure God by your own arm. God's arm is not short. Christ's hand reaches you. Remember how the hand of Christ was not shortened in the days when he walked among men. What a long arm Christ had. How many it reached. And into what depths it reached as well. You remember the leper? Oh, stained with the leprosy. Reached deep into his skin and sinews. Nobody could heal him. Nobody could help him. But Jesus put forth his hand. That's not a shortened hand. And he cleansed him. The Lord's hand can cleanse all your sin. It can wash you. It can take it all away, the leprosy. It's not short today. Christ's hand is far-reaching to remove all leprosy. Christ's hand raised sinners. Do you remember the dead? Remember the little maid? He put forth his hand. He took her by the hand and she arose. Christ's hand raised her up. Oh, death is deep. Death is dark. Death is beyond the arm of man. But Christ puts forth his hand. He reaches into death itself. And he rescues the dead. Is my hand wax short? It can raise the dead. It can raise sinners who are dead in sin. It can raise the hopeless case. At the last day it'll resurrect all the dead. Is the Lord's hand wax short? Well, on resurrection day everybody will see that snow short arm the Lord has. All that are in the grave shall come forth. The mighty arm of God. Do you remember how Peter's mother-in-law, she was laid down. The fever had sunk her deep. She couldn't raise herself to make the dinner. But the Lord took her by the hand. His hand took her hand. And he lifted her up. Immediately the fever left her and she ministered on to them. The hand of the Lord gave her the strength. The hand of the Lord removed the fever. The hand of the Lord put her back on her feet again. Maybe, child of God, you're low. Maybe the fever of sin has gotten into your mind and heart, and you're sunk low, and you're discouraged, and you feel useless, and you can't help people, you can't help saints, and you can't help sinners, because you can't even help yourself. You're low. Oh, the Lord's hand can reach you. The Lord's hand can raise you up. He has a mighty hand. You remember Peter? He was sinking. What did the Lord Jesus do? Stretch forth his hand. Caught him. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Is the Lord's hand shortened, Peter? Did you find the Lord had a short hand when you were sinking and you called upon him for help and mercy? Was the Lord's hand shortened to your cry? No, Peter has to say. He heard my cry, he sent his hand and he delivered me. He raised me up. Child of God, the Lord's hand can raise you up. The Lord's hand can answer your prayers and give you your heart's cry. The length of his hand is as great as his power. His power never wanes, therefore his hand never shortens. And not only is it as great as his power, its length is as great as his love. He has a long hand of power, but he also has a long hand of love. Because his power does not go to raise those without loving them. And so where his love reaches, his power goes, they travel together with that unshortened arm. Do you remember how the Apostle Paul prayed? That the God's people would be rooted in love and that they might be able to comprehend all the saints, that they might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Notice that word length. His love is long. He has not a short love. The breadth and the length and the depth and the height are all the same. Infinitely great. The length of his love. To know the length. And that length is like his hand. It has a far reach. O child of God, whenever you get outside the bounds of his love, then you will get outside the reach of his hand. But that shall never be, because his love for you is everlasting and unbounded, and therefore nothing shall ever put you outside his hand's reach. No man shall pluck them out of my hand, he says. They're beyond the reach of others. The Lord can put his hand so high up that they're beyond the reach of others. The Lord can raise you up so high into the heavenlies that you're beyond the reach of any other hand. Does that not answer the question? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Moses, you should know better. He will keep his word. No matter how distant it is, the Lord will keep his word, and his hand will see that his promises are sustained. Believest thou this? We need to pray, Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to believe in thy mighty hand. Help us not to doubt its length. The Lord is mighty. So trust in him and be at peace. For Christ's sake, and to him be all glory. Amen.